Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
A Tuesday Calgary Flames game day here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. The Vegas Golden Knights with their first visit to Calgary this season as the Flames look to go 3-0 for the first time since 2010. Lots to get to on today's program. This is Sportsnet Today here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. It's Logan Gordon along with you, coming at you live from our Sportsnet 960 downtown studios in beautiful, sunny Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And yes, the Flames looking to do something they haven't done in a very long time. After wins against Colorado and Edmonton, they now have another Pacific Division battle, this time against the Vegas Golden Knights. Our first look at a healthy-ish Vegas team. We'll dive into that a little bit later on. You just heard Ken Belke on with Haley Salvian on Hockey Central with a good breakdown of what this Vegas team looks like so far this year and what to expect, but we'll dive a little bit more into that as the program continues. We'll also bring you Jordan Tomiyama, the web guy, is going to join us just after 2:30. We'll also try to squeeze in a Stamps report with Matty Rowe. So lots to get to in the next hour. But let's kick things off like we always do here on Sportsnet Today, and that's welcoming in our Flames insider, brought to you by the Gemini Group. It is Peter Labardius. Imagine your life, your style, your home renovations should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. The Gemini Group now offering Air Miles Reward Miles. Visit GeminiGroup.ca. Good afternoon, Lou. How are you?
Well, I got a few extra juices running around today than I probably would under most normal circumstances, so I'm good.
Yeah, that's good. I'm excited for tonight. And yes, if you haven't heard, our pal Kelly Rudy feeling a bit under the weather tonight. So Lou switches from the radio side of things to the TV side of things for a color commentary on tonight's Flames broadcast. And I guess from your perspective, Lou, I know you've done both during your career, but probably been a while since you've been on the TV side of things. You looking forward to tonight?
Well, I'm really looking forward to it, and I certainly know the role, but this will be a first for me, Logan, in terms of doing color on television. I've called, you know, a ton of games on the play-by-play side over my career in the NHL or Olympics or Memorial Cups, but I've never had an opportunity before tonight, you know, to sit in the other chair on television. And needless to say, I've been so fortunate in my career to work with amazing people and some of the best who do that job and really turn it into an art form. Now, I have no grandeur plans of trying to paint a Picasso on night number one, but I'm really, really looking forward to the opportunity. I've always wondered what it might be like to try what I do on the radio on television, and there's a lot to it, though. There's a lot more to it than there is on the radio side. So, hockey fans, you know, just be gentle.
Yeah. In general, be gentle. But
I'm gonna be my same old self and excited and, you know, given some background and tell a few stories. And, yeah, so I'm really excited about it.
I'm very happy for you. Looking forward to tonight.
You got a different role tonight yourself.
Yeah, I'll change things up. I'll hit pregame up with Pat, and then I'll host your intermissions tonight here on Flames Radio. So looking forward to diving into that myself tonight. An interesting game tonight, Lou. We kick off an extended homestand for the Calgary Flames and a chance, as I mentioned, off the hop for this Flames team to go 3-0 for the first time in a long time. And I'm just curious how you look at that. It doesn't say everything. It's obviously an 82-game season, but what a nice thing it would be for this group who has a lot of growing and, you know, chemistry to build still to start off the season 3-0 against three pretty good opponents.
Well, three very, very good opponents. And, you know, whether it was the Oilers on Saturday or Vegas tonight, to me, divisional games have greater importance, and they have greater importance against teams that you figure to truly be in a tussle with to make the playoffs. So those won't be the complete and utter determining factors of whether the Flames find themselves back in the postseason. But if you're a really, really good team in the framework of your own division, it goes a long way to, you know, guaranteeing you a spot in one of those three places come the end of the season. So different tests tonight than what we've seen. But, you know, I think people have kind of sold the Golden Knights a little short in the off season. I'd be the first to tell you that, you know, whether it's injuries or they've made a lot of different moves, I think stability will be their friend over the next little while, if indeed, you know, they're allowed to go in that, you know, marketplace. But this is a really, really good hockey team from top to bottom. The one question mark so far would be in goal, where Robin Lehner has gone for the year. Laurent Brossoit is on his way back. He might return in November. And right now it's the Calgary duo of Logan Thompson, who will get the start, the former Brandon Wheatgang, and Aiden Hill, another Calgary young man, who, until I went back in the dressing room today to see Aiden Hill, I forgot what a large human that he was. Maybe it has something to do with the fact that I think in 2011, 2012, when he was playing in the U16 league in the Buffalo's area, I think I might have watched him 10 or 11 times that year, Logan, and knew that he certainly had some ability and went on to have a really nice career in Portland with the Winterhawks before his pro escapade. So, you know, that's the one area that people point to, but, you know, they're relatively healthy, really healthy again, and they're really good. They're a really good team from top to bottom.
Yeah, Aiden Hill's most recent measurements from Vegas training camp had him at 6'6" and 202 pounds. That is a large human being, regardless of the position he plays, and that man takes up a lot of net. Yes, his time back in Calgary. Even a member of the Calgary Canucks, if I'm not mistaken, for a little while there, Lou.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, and, you know, really came into his own in a couple of years as a member of the Portland Winterhawks.
You mentioned it there while we're on the topic of Vegas. Interesting, you know, obviously the goaltending injuries are a big one, but it's the injuries up front the last couple of years that have had everyone talking about Vegas, especially last year. Mark Stone was dealing with back issues. We know Jack Eichel was working his way back from that neck surgery that he had, and they're finally healthy for the first time and finally able to give us a sense of what this team might look like at the forward group, Lou. I'm just curious, when you see Vegas and you see them at full strength, how you view them. Because I know Mark Stone is one of those guys, and similar to maybe the team, I think that a lot of people have sort of written Mark Stone off because he's been hurt and hasn't been at full health the last couple of years. I still see a very productive and very dangerous forward group when he's out there.
One of the best two-way players in the sport when he's healthy. It's an obvious comment about, you know, all the trouble that he's had with his back the last couple of years, and, you know, that's obviously going to be something that potentially can flare up and will bug him potentially for the rest of his career. But, you know, a lot like Elias Lindholm, even though they play different positions, Mark Stone just makes people around him better. He's so intelligent. He's so positionally sound. He's got great hands. His hockey IQ is off the charts. And, you know, and the other thing about Mark that I've always, always admired going, you know, back to his junior days with the Brandon Wheatgangs in particular, is one thing you can never take away is his passion for the sport. You know, he loves to play the game. It's evident every time I've ever watched him at any level, including this one. And, you know, remember, this guy was a 6th-round pick of the Ottawa Senators, you know, going back to his draft year, and led the Western Hockey League one season in scoring with, I believe the number was 123 points, scored 7 goals in his lone World Junior in Calgary, in fact, in 2012. But he makes everybody better. And if he can stay healthy, that is going to be a massive benefit. And the other player who's really benefited, it's the all Western Hockey League line. So, you know me, I never have trouble talking about that. Chandler Stephenson is coming off his best ever season. Formerly in Washington, obviously a pick of the Capitals, former Regina Pat, Saskatoon product, and you know his career high prior to last year was 35. Last year, 66, and he'll be on a line if today was any indication, and it's been the way it's been so far with Mark Stone on the right. And former Tampa Bay Lightning, former New York Ranger, former Moose Jaw Warrior, Brett Howden, who's made the transition to the wing. He's played there before. I had a chance to chat with him today, and he's just such a likable young guy. And, you know, I liken him a little bit in a sense. They're different players. But it takes players time, right, Logan, to find their way, to maybe find the right fit, to find the right position. But anybody who plays with Mark Stone is going to benefit greatly. And so this is a team I really like their personnel. And, you know, if they get good goaltending, I think Bruce Cassidy will be refreshed after his time in Boston. You know, he's a disciple of Daryl Sutter in regards to he played for him in the International Hockey League. And you know, at another spurt, he's a very no-nonsense, make people accountable. He's a guy I really enjoy just listening to his breakdowns of the game on pregame shows or today in the scrum. So I think the key word in Vegas is not about personnel, it's stability, because they have lots and lots of good personnel. And as Daryl remarked today in the media scrum, in his mind, when this group is healthy, he still thinks that they're a team that you 100% have to go through to have, you know, a good showing in the Pacific Division.
One guy I did want to ask you about, because I'm so intrigued by him, and I don't think we've got a full view yet of what his life in Vegas is going to look like, and that's Jack Eichel. 34 games for Vegas last season. He put up 25 points. He's got 3 points in three games early on this season, but I think 37 games in, Lou, is probably too early to judge his tenure in Vegas. I'm very curious to see in person what Jack Eichel looks like, because I think his health and his ability to get, I'm not going to say, you know, entirely back to full health as to where he was before the neck surgery, but somewhere close to it is going to be very key to what they want to do in Vegas.
Well, I think he's incredibly key to what they want to do. And, you know, he's paid very, very well. And when Jack Eichel is at the top of his game, he is potentially as dangerous as almost anybody in the sport. You know, the one area for him, and this goes back even before he started playing in the NHL, was he needs to impact the game each and every night. And I actually thought before, you know, everything happened and the big injury in Buffalo and the drama and the, you know, you could add a soap opera on the Jack Eichel story before it finally got resolved. Jack, to me, was just rounding into a much better all-round player. And when he's at the top of his game, he is an absolute menace to deal with. And even in the Flames' battles over the years with Buffalo, at Scotiabank Saddledome, for whatever reason, I don't know if he likes the ice, the environment, I don't know what it is, but he has had some very, very good nights in Calgary. So you don't make a move like that if, you know, you're trying to build your team around him in many ways. Still a very young player. My guess is he feels good. Everybody that I've talked to, including a couple people today, said he feels great. He was certainly in good spirits in the room when I was in there today. So yeah, I'm very, very curious. And no, whether it's the Flames, whether it's the Golden Knights, whether it's Jack Eichel's first 30 games, we're going to find out, I think, a lot about Jack and his fit and his meaning to the Vegas Golden Knights as long as he stays healthy this season.
And before we move on from some of our Vegas topics, I wanted to play this from Daryl Sutter's meeting with the media this morning, and one that I knew you will enjoy, Lou. I believe it was Derek that asked, you know, about some of the challenges, what makes this Vegas team so hard to play about, and Daryl had a good Western Canadian reference when he gave his answer.
First off, they have 11 players from Western Canada, and that's, so it's 10 plus the Lacision boy who was born in Raleigh, so that's 11, so I like that. That's the biggest challenge.
Well, there's no shortage. Two goalies, Whitecloud McNabb, Jake Lacision, who likely won't play tonight, Chandler Stephenson, Brett Howden, Shea Theodore, Keegan Colazar, Mark Stone. That's a pretty good group of guys that hail from Western Canada. So, and they're always have a little extra juice. There's more families around, although I'm going to guess it's not hard to convince their families to go to Vegas. In fact, I was talking when I chatted with Brett Howden today. He said that his mom and dad are already on their way to Vegas for a trip and some time down there when, you know, the Golden Knights return to T-Mobile Arena and go back home. So, yeah, they'll be a very, very motivated group for many reasons. And the reason we haven't even talked about necessarily is it's an early divisional battle between two teams who don't have an L yet.
Mm-hmm. We're chatting with Pete Labardius, our Flames insider here on Sportsnet today, brought to you by the Gemini Group. And we talked lots about Vegas. Let's get into some of the Flames topics we wanted to hit on today's game day, Lou. And interesting to me, going back to Saturday night and listening to some of the Flames talk post-game show with Pat, and you know, going into some of the calls and texts that he was reading, and I've seen a lot of this too, and I'm sure you've heard some of it as well. Despite the Flames being 2-0, there's still a lot of wonder, and I would say even some worry from a certain section of the fan base that watches the Flames consistently about the first line and their ability to gel. And of course, that's the line of Elias Lindholm, Jonathan Huberdeau, and Tyler Toffoli. Some people want to see it changed up. Some people are looking for, you know, hey, in a week or so, who can we put up there and who can we move? I'm at the place where, you know, the Flames have won two games. I'm not in any rush to change anything. I think that that line needs to be given time to gel and come together. But I'm curious what you've made of that early season narrative for the Calgary Flames.
You know how you talked about sample size?
Yes.
I'm not making big changes based on two outings, so I'm not doing it. I don't really think there should be any concern at this point when I add up some of the important things. And I'll start with Jonathan Huberdeau, who I can tell at times he wants to be an impact player here so bad that has he forced a few things? Yes. Is he a brilliant hockey player? Yes. Is how Daryl wants to play the game very different in all aspects than he's had to deal with before? I'm going to guess absolutely. Not completely, but I know there are certain areas that are completely non-negotiable. And the other thing is, too, Logan, when you come over in that kind of acquisition, and then, you know, you are paid very, very handsomely, especially starting with next year, there's not a human out there that isn't going to want to say, here's a huge reason as to why. The other thing I would add about that line is, I'm going to ask you, how close was that group, who are all on the first power play, how close were they to scoring three or four different times on one power play alone? Lots.
No,
and as I've said over the years about a lot of lines and about a lot of, you know, really good players, sometimes power play success can feed 5-on-5 success because guys feel better, they get more touches, you know, they start to feel better. There's every reason in the world for me at least, to give that group as much time as they potentially need. And it's why you're always going to hear me, especially at this time of year, be the guy that downplays big situations. It's game three. The Oilers game was game two. Yes, it's different. But part of the process in building your team and seeing what you have is exactly what I just said. It's not looking at a puzzle and putting it on your whiteboard and it all just works. And even if it doesn't get off to a good start, is it what is going to be best for your team? Mm-hmm. And it's also one of the reasons, I don't really want to get into it today, but it's why I'm never a big guy in terms of, you know, top line or second line or third line or whatever you want. Because on a really good team, and I think the Calgary Flames are a really good team, you know, yes, last year for absolute sure. The way those guys produce, certainly in the regular season, was that your number one offensive grouping? Yes. The beautiful thing about this team is they might be able to hit you every different night with a different group that's going. That's the beauty of it. You're 2-0 against two really good teams, and some of the best players on your team, i.e., you know, those three guys, haven't quite found their stride.
Yeah.
I'm not panicking about that at all, because first of all, any line that's anchored by Elias Lindholm
is going to get. Yeah.
And any line that features the playmaking ability of Jonathan Huberdeau, one of these nights they're going to go off. I'm not saying it's tonight, but it's going to happen. And I don't think it's going to be too long. So I understand why the questions are out there. But the beautiful thing is, you know, when you have a line that's right now being centered by Nazem Kadri, you have the makings of two top trios, not just one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the interesting thing in all of this, Lou, and I've just been surprised by how much, because first of all, I guess I might understand the conversation a bit more if, say, you were 0-2 and that was the conversation. I mean, you're 2-0. For me, there's very little to complain about in that sense. But also, I look at your other three lines and say, okay, well, what other line are you adjusting right now? Not even to say that I think the first line's been bad. I don't think they have been bad. But I'm not touching Kadri, Dubé, Mangiapane right now. If it means just waiting it out until, like you said, that first line gets their stride and really finds things together, and letting the other three lines carry a bit more of it, I'm more than okay with that. I'm not going to send my entire lineup into flux when I have lines going like that line with Backlund and Coleman, I think, has been really strong for them too. We've talked ad nauseum about how good the Kadri line's been to start the season. I understand, and I always love when you say it because it's so applicable to what we do here, that it's not an 82-game season. It's 82 one-game seasons, and we're always analyzing what we've seen in these one-game samples. But, you know, for me, just a little bit of patience to get there, and I know it's going to come. And for some people, seeing the numbers and the salaries and all that sort of thing will play into it and say, why aren't these guys scoring? Why aren't they doing more? But you're 2-0 on the season. There's nothing to panic about right now.
There's nothing to panic about. And I'm not saying that I can guarantee that those three guys are going to click and it's going to work. It doesn't work that way. But this team has lots of interchangeable parts. You make up an excellent point in the sense that, are you touching any? And I'm going to say other three groups. Because if you go back and watch the Edmonton game closely and you really look at it and study it and understand it, the shifts that Kevin Rooney's line with Luch and Brett Ritchie gave that team all night, and especially in the last 10 minutes of the third, helped you win that hockey game. Because they spent copious amounts of time in the offensive zone, which, what does that do? It sets up the next line to be in a better position, and three quarters of the time, especially when you're leading a hockey game, as the Flames were, by one goal, If I pin somebody in their zone, guess what they're not doing? They're not creating anything at my end.
Mm-hmm.
So leaving the next line and playing your role and using your minutes very effectively is really, really important. And the great thing that Darryl has this year, in my opinion, is, and there's not anybody any better in coaching to have a feel for who's going and who isn't. You don't have to cater to anybody or any line or any group. I thought Michael Backlund's line the other night in Edmonton was tremendous. Kadri's line was terrific. Kadri's line was really, really good in the first game. This is not like some other, you know, what I think are high-level teams. This team's going to do it because they play the right way. They check. They can count on people to do what they do. They're slotted pretty well. It's not perfect. No team ever is. You can't even judge that now. You've got a lot of key people, whether it's under pressure with new contracts, new surroundings, new coach, new systems. They're trying to fit. And I'm yet to see a guy who really cares, probably in the early going of a situation like this, probably not try to push the envelope a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So just let it breathe, folks. Let it breathe. Give it 10. I'm more than happy to answer this question. I'll even give you 7 to cut it in the middle.
Yeah, 2 is just too small of a sample size, and
come on.
We'll talk about it. We'll dive into it more as I'm sure the season continues. But for now, the Flames are 2-0 with a chance to go to 3-0 tonight with a win over Vegas. Lou, get out of here. Enjoy your afternoon, sir. I know it'll be full of lots of prep. Looking forward to seeing you at the Dome tonight, pal.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, Logan.
There you go, Peter Labardius, our Flames insider here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Brought to you by the Gemini Group. The Gemini Group home renovations know that your home renovation should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. The Gemini Group are now offering Air Miles Reward Miles. Visit GeminiGroup.ca. And yes, Lou will not be joining us on the Flames radio side of things today. He's got the call up with Harnarayan Singh to do color commentary on the Sportsnet television side of things. That means that Pat Steinberg will be alongside Derek Wills as your color commentator tonight. Flames warm-up will still go at 6 with Pat and myself, leading up to Derek's call of the Flames and the Golden Knights at 7 right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. We'll take a break and come back on the other side. Still lots to get to here on Sportsnet today. We'll bring in our pal Jordan, the web guy, and take a look at some of your best bets for this afternoon and this evening. Maybe even take a look at some NBA futures coming up here as the NBA season is set to tip off very soon. Plus, Calgary Stampeders getting set for a big matchup against the Saskatchewan Roughriders this week. Matt Rose has your Stamps report. That's coming up next here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. It's Calgary Flames game day here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Logan Gordon along with you. Segment 2 of Sportsnet today continues. Flames coverage starts at 6 o'clock tonight with Flames pregame. Pat Steinberg taking you all the way up until 7 o'clock, where he and Derek Wills will have the call of the Flames and the Vegas Golden Knights here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan, as our pal Peter Labardius gets the call up to the big leagues and will join Harnarayan Singh on the television side of things for tonight's broadcast on the Sportsnet television network. Flames, Golden Knights, 3-0, Flames 2-0. Really looking forward to tonight's action. Still to come on Sportsnet today, we'll get you a Stamps report with Matty Rose, the latest on the Stamps ahead of their matchup against the Rough Riders on Saturday. But we kick off Hour 2 by welcoming in our pal, Jordan Tomiyama, a.k.a. Jordan the Web Guy, with some best bets on this Tuesday. What's up, Jordan?
Not much. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you're welcome. despite your subpar record on... Now, I'll give you this. I do like to bug you about this, but your off-air record always seems to be stronger than your on-air record, because Pat's brought you on a couple of times, and I'm not going to lie, it didn't go well a few times for you. But some of your off-air stuff you've done pretty well on. Even last night, I've told you a million times never to bet on my Chargers, and you did, and it actually wound up buying you lunch today. So that was good news.
Yeah, the key to sports betting Twitter is you only post your off-air wins, but not your losses. So,
yeah.
So that's the key to being the sports betting Twitter. You just see the wins, but you never see the losses. So, last night it was almost a guilty win. Because almost both teams should probably not have won that game.
Well, yeah, and you had to watch that display of terrible football.
Yeah, the Chargers and that kicker, he probably doesn't have a hamstring anymore, but he was able to kick those two field goals, then he kicked the winner. So I got lucky on that one, but it's slowly inching towards the best time of the year with the baseball championship series, and then NBA starts tonight, and then hockey's getting into full swing, so it's, and NFL too, so It's the best time of year if you're a sports bettor or fan.
Yeah, let's talk about some of those tonight. You've got a couple of interesting ones when it comes to the Flames and the Golden Knights, and then we'll dive into a couple of NBA opening night ones. What do you got when it comes to the Flames and the Golden Knights?
Yeah, tonight I did this one for their first game against the Oilers, but I know some sports books don't offer these kind of props, but on Bet365 they do power play points.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna put a unit or half a unit on that first power play unit for the Flames. So Huberto, Kadri, Lindholm, Toffoli, and Anderson, they kind of all range from like +150, and the highest is Anderson at +335. So that's kind of like 2-1 to about 5-1. But for these ones, it's kind of nice because if you do hit one, like if you hit Anderson or Toffoli, you're pretty much playing with even money for the rest of them. And if they do score, it's at least three of them that's going to get a point. So, the first game against Oilers, they had a point. So that was good. And then their first game, then the Oilers, Kadri had a power play goal. So that paid for almost the rest of the bets. And then the last prop bet I have is the Jonathan Huberto anytime goal at +150. He hasn't got one yet, and there's been talk, obviously, about that first line, and who knows, maybe if they get a 5-on-3 or something, they kind of look for him, and then he pot one. And I know he's a pass-first kind of guy, but I think even he wants to get that monkey off his back, so +150, and then if he gets it on the power play, then you get the anytime goal and the power play one, too.
Yeah, and those ones are nice because you're almost doubling down on a guy like Huberto, who hasn't scored yet, but is going to get a lot of time. He's going to get a lot of offensive zone starts. You know he plays on the quote-unquote number one line, but he's also on that number one power play unit. So you know he's going to be in a lot of offensive situations, and he's going to have those chances, right?
Yeah, and I think the only negative thing about power play points is what if there's no power plays?
Yeah.
But in today's NHL, and even what you saw from the Canadiens game last night or even the Leafs, there's lots of power plays to be had out there. So if you go with that first unit, and then I guess there's like the higher ones, like almost like +500, with Noah Hanifin or Backlund. But if that's tough because you never know how much time they're going to get on the ice for a power play, especially if that first unit stays out a long time.
Yeah, it seems like those ones are, you know, depending on how the power play goes, if they're possession heavy, it's really not a lot of time for a change. You might get 30 seconds out of that second power play unit. So it explains the higher odds, but also, you know, you have to look at those sort of things when you're putting those in for sure. Did you have anything else on hockey for tonight?
I got the our friends to the West. I'm going to go the Canucks money line at -110.
Oh, you think the players only meeting made a difference? You think the coach calling them mentally weak will have woken them up? What a terrible matchup tonight that is, by the way. 5 o'clock start from Columbus. You're 0-3 Blue Jackets with Johnny Gaudreau against the mentally weak Vancouver Canucks at 0-3.
Yeah, this is the all bad vibes game, I think.
Holy.
But, I'll go with the Canucks. They got to win. I think I've said that the past two games, and they still lost. But
they don't have to win, I can tell you that much.
But I think when Bruce Boudreau called them out for calling mentally weak, I think that's almost the second worst thing other than calling your team soft. So it's weird because you can see that they have talent, like they get up in games, but then, like as Boudreau said, they're almost waiting for something terrible to happen, and in the past or their past three games something terrible has happened. So
very true.
So maybe this could be the Blue Jackets are right for the picking and they finally get that win, because I do enjoy seeing Canucks Twitter engulf in flames when they lose every game, and I see like our guys like Bic and those guys, they kind of deal with the crazy Twitter. And I think like Steinberg said before, I think they're the craziest fan base on Twitter in general. Like the Flames Twitter, I don't know. I think it's not as
crazy. Has its moments. Yeah.
But I think like Winnipeg Jets Twitter, you don't see anything. Like Jets Twitter, Sens Twitter, but maybe because we're out west, but I think the Canucks, those guys will go crazy, but it shows that they're passionate fan base and then they just want to see a winner.
Just quickly on that, some notes for that bet that if you're following Jordan, I'm going to put some on the Canucks money line tonight. The Columbus Blue Jackets, one of the few teams in the NHL, they have not scored a power play goal this season. That's not good. No. Good thing you paid Johnny all that money to fix your power play. They've also, the goals for, goals against per game, not going well right now for the Columbus Blue Jackets. A full 3 goals difference. Now, it's only 3 games in, but when you're averaging your opponent outscore you by 3 goals per game, that's not a good start. They're averaging 1.67 goals per and allowing 4.67. That doesn't look good for the Blue Jackets, and I don't think anyone here in Calgary feels that bad for them.
I know Laine too, which really hurts that power play. He sure scored that first game, and then
and see you later.
That's it. So. Yeah. I don't think Flames fans are too upset that they've struggled to start the season. Both teams, Canucks and Blue Jackets. So
yeah, both of them probably okay with Flames fans. And before we let you go here, interesting NBA kicks off tonight. Tip off with 2 premier matchups, one in the East and one in the West. 5:30 tip off, 76ers and the Boston Celtics. Of course, Boston losing out in the NBA Finals last year. LeBron James and the Lakers look to do some damage and maybe put things together this year, question mark. They're in Golden State for a banner raising against the Warriors.
Yeah, for the first game, the tip-off game, I guess, I'm going to go with the Sixers, either at +3.5 or money line, or it could go both, I guess. But I'm just going with value on this bet. It's the first game of the regular season. It's so tough to judge, especially in the NBA, what you're going to get. But I'll go with the Sixers. They've added to their team. James Harden is back. Looks like he's in shape. And then the Celtics are coming off probably the second craziest offseason in the NBA other than the Suns. So new head coach. We'll see how they kind of react. But I'll go with the value for the Sixers at +140. And then for the second game, I'm going to go Lakers +4 first half bet. It's ring night for the Warriors. Lots of pomp and circumstance. Draymond Green doesn't. Maybe he's apologized to Jordan Poole for that punch, but there's been drama surrounding the Warriors kind of this whole offseason. And then the Lakers, they're fully healthy. Maybe they can get Westbrook to figure it out a little bit.
Maybe
come off the bench. But anytime you have a healthy LeBron James in a game, you're probably going to have a good chance of winning. And you have Anthony Davis who's back. So I think these 2 games are going to be really fun. I'm most looking forward to the second half of it, but once again, Lakers +4 first half, which is like -110, -120, so pretty much even money. But
is that total, or is the I guess the number on the Golden State one interesting to you? I'm looking at it right now, -7 when it comes to Golden State. Does that seem like a widespread to you for night one at least? Or
yeah, I think they're kind of going off. The Warriors pretty much have everyone back, and they got a fully healthy team. But yeah, that is a lot of +7, especially on the first night. But who knows? We've kind of seen the Lakers, if they get in that second half and LeBron's not feeling it or they're down by a lot, they just put the bench in. So let's see how they kind of handle what ring night and see how big those rings are for the Warriors. But +7. But yeah, even that would be a really good bet because that kind of that 4-5 range is, gets dangerous with free throws at the end of the game. But +7. I think that's pretty good with LeBron James and co. So, yeah, I'm really excited for the second half of that that doubleheader.
Thanks, JC.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
That's Jordan the Web Guy. Jordan Tomiyama joining us here on Sportsnet 960. You can find him on Twitter at JT Tomiyama, our Sportsnet 960 web editor and occasional best bets expert. We'll switch things over to the CFL doubleheader on Saturday night. Finishes off the week of CFL action. It's been an interesting one for the Calgary Stampeders as they get set to head to Regina and take on the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Looks as though the Stamps' fate is sealed, that they'll be heading to BC for the West semifinal, but they still have a say in it, and they'll need to get past Saskatchewan a couple times if they want a chance at hosting that West semifinal. It all starts on Saturday. That's a week of work that starts today at McMahon Stadium. That means it's time for your Stamps Report with Matty Rose.
The Calgary Stampeders have two games left as they took to the practice field on Tuesday, getting their week of preparation underway for their final road game Saturday at Mosaic Stadium in Regina, a game that could have playoff implications on both sides. The Bombers are going to be the first seed in the West. The Stampeders and Lions are going to be the second and third seeds, but who gets home field is still to be decided. The Lions play the Elks Friday night. If they win, the Stamps are going to head to BC. Even if BC loses, if the Stampeders also lose, then they're also going to be getting on a plane and heading to BC for that November 6th matchup. The Riders cannot make the Western playoffs, but they have a chance to get into the East as the crossover. They're 6-10. The Ticats are also 6-10, but the Riders need to be outright leaders. So with two games left, if Hamilton beats Ottawa Friday and the Riders lose to the Stamps on Saturday, that will be the end of the season for Saskatchewan in a year that they host the Grey Cup. By the time the Riders and Stamps are underway Saturday, we'll know the results of the Lions and the Ticats games and the real stakes of the contest. It would be unlikely that Calgary hosts the West semifinal November 6th, but Dave Dickinson isn't giving up on the chance just yet.
Well, we know we're playing the Lions. I mean, listen, I'm interested in trying to make sure our team decides who we are and what we're all about and what's our standard and all sorts of like coach talk. But it's true, you want to play well and you want to make sure you're giving me great effort and you're locked into your game plan and you're getting better. You know, the teams that win it are getting better at the end of the year. It's nobody's plateaued. If you're plateaued, somebody's catching you. So we got to continue to try to be better.
So what exactly does it look like trying to get better in these final couple of weeks against a team that is borderline out of the postseason?
Well, I'm of the opinion that practice carries over to the game and that, you know, if you want to have good ball security, you got to do it in practice. If you want to be gap sound and D run, you got to do it in practice. Working on your protections, punts, you know, like we were a little loose and got a couple guys free on punt, you got to do it in practice. So those are the things I'd like to see each and every day. And to me, it's a repetitive action. Practice can be a little bit monotonous. You're doing some over and over and over again, but that's when you get good at something, and that's what we got to keep doing.
As far as the injury report goes, good news for the Stampeders. Defensive back Titus Wall, as well as receivers Malik Henry and Kamar Jordan, were limited, but at practice, we haven't seen Wall since week 11, while Jordan has been sidelined since week 13.
We had quite a few guys get some work in today, limited fashion, but we definitely had some enforcements coming back. Now, I'd like them tomorrow to really take that next step. We're still playing to basically get better. We're still playing to try to play good Stampeder football. And one of the things we want to do is make sure we're improving. We do that. I do think the wins and losses and all that can take care of itself. But we want to put our best unit out there. We want to gel. We want to come together. And we'll continue to do that.
It would be great if Kamar Jordan could get back and get a game in before the playoffs. He'd most likely come back and replace Trey Odom's Dukes in the slot, who had two touchdowns against Hamilton, but also had an instance to ice the game and was instead pushed out of bounds and allowed Hamilton to come back and eventually win that contest. The Stampeders do have options for weapons. Obviously, Kadeem Carey, he hit the 1,000 yards rushing last game. He missed practice Tuesday with an illness, but Dave Dickinson does expect him back on Wednesday. Reggie Bagleton could hit the 1,000-yard mark receiving this weekend. He's at 869 yards on 76 grabs. He's got 5 touchdowns. Malik Henry was limited in action, but he's having a monster year. 1,023 yards on 62 grabs with 8 touchdowns. Luther Hakunavanu, Sean Bain, and Richie Sindani have all had fine seasons when healthy, as has rookie Jalen Philpott. He'll play his first game at Mosaic as a CFL player this weekend, which is always a cool moment. All right, we're here with Jalen Philpott, Stampeder's rookie receiver. Just a couple games left in the season. You guys know you're going to be playing the Lions. You just have to find out where.
Yep.
When you look back at the first, you know, season of your career, how are you going to remember it?
You know, I'm definitely going to think of it kind of as, I guess, like a fun one, a learning curve for me. You know, just getting comfortable, just kind of finding myself, finding my groove in the offense. You know, it definitely took me a couple games to kind of get my feet wet and be comfortable out there reading the defense and moving fast and playing fast, like what Dave says, is the best way. So it took me a little bit, but I'd say I'm pretty happy with the way it's turned out. I've been able to help my team a little bit, and I just know we're not finished yet, so more to come for sure.
Are you kind of keeping some mental notes as far as things you're like, okay, in the off season, this is what I want to make sure I'm bringing back to the team?
Oh, most definitely. I think that's going to be the number one thing for me. Kind of just talking to a lot of guys is just, you know, like training like a pro now. I'm out of college. I'm more of a pro guy. I'm making money. So the off season approach is definitely going to be a complete different approach for me. And then, yeah, just learning the offense. And I'm just so excited to come back into camp next year, already having my feet wet, knowing the plays, knowing where I'm going to be playing. And yeah, I think the best is yet to come for me, for sure.
How excited are you for your first trip to Mosaic?
I'm excited. I've played there in college, but definitely not with this atmosphere. From what the guys are talking about, it's a pretty crazy atmosphere, and it's kind of a we don't like each other type atmosphere. So I'm excited for that. I know it's going to be loud, and the fans are going to be into it. So that's just our goal, to go out there and shut them up and come home with a win.
Now, we saw Malik Henry got a big extension. How did you guys, receivers, very tight-knit? I'm sure you guys had a good time celebrating that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Malik's my roommate, so I kind of found out a little bit before everyone else. He FaceTimed me. I was back home in Vancouver on bye week, and, you know, we just talked about how we spoke it into existence, you know, before the season. You know, Malik had high hopes for this season and expected to do well, and he was able to achieve everything that he wanted to do. So it's just awesome to see a guy that set a goal for himself and go out there and accomplish that goal.
How was that friendship growing over the course of the year?
Huge. You know, I didn't know him coming in. We ended up turning into roommates, and I'd say me and him are really close on the team. You know, it's just so awesome to have a guy that has had that CFL now experience and NFL experience in the States too. Just something I can just throw stuff at him, ideas. Hey, look at this route. You know, how do you think I should run this better? Because he knows he's probably one of our best route runners. So just so nice to have a guy just throw ideas at, and he just comes back with an opinion. It's awesome.
We've seen Jake Mayer really take over this offense.
Yep.
What have you learned about him as the season has continued, as with him as your starter?
Yeah, that's another thing with Jake. You know, I definitely been building the relationship with him too. He's a little bit of a quiet assassin. You know, he doesn't say too much, but he'll go out there and he'll gunsling that ball, and he'll force balls into tight windows and make plays. So it's just so awesome to see him kind of build up from the beginning of this year and just come out with that confidence and just take hold of the offense like he has. And everyone knows it's Jake's team now, so it's just ready to follow Jake.
Does he have a deceptively strong arm? Because it feels like at times he kind of steps back from the line and he looks across the entire field and rips a ball to an open receiver.
Yeah, it's really decisive. You know, it's hard to read sometimes, you know, because he has that gunslinger and then also he has that nice touch. But yeah, with Jake, you know, you definitely know you got to run full speed, even if you're wide open, because he's going to put it out there. So yeah, it's just so awesome to have a guy like that in the offense.
Thanks, Jalen. Good luck in your first game against the Riders.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That was Jalen Philpott. 19 grabs on 28 targets with 241 yards and 2 touchdowns this season. Has battled a few injuries, but looks to start again as the Stamps battle the Riders at Mosaic on Saturday. Head coach Dave Dickinson also gave an update on star defensive back Trey Roberson. He's been hurt since week 8, and at the time, it was said to be maybe season ending, maybe not. Danny Austin of Post Media asked the coach for the latest as we do get near the postseason.
Saw him today in the doing his rehab. I mean, listen, he's probably a little farther off than the other three guys, but he hasn't given up. He's showing up to meetings. He's doing all he's supposed to do, and been a good leader. But he's a ways away. I don't think you'll see him this week, and we'll see how Trey is trending closer to the playoffs.
And Trey Roberson's an easy guy to cheer for, pulling for him to return and have an impact after a strong season was cut short due to injury. Closed practice for the Stampeders Wednesday, another practice Thursday, then they'll travel to Regina Friday.
Yes, the Stampeders will travel to Regina on Friday, getting set for that matchup Saturday against the Rough Riders. Saskatchewan still fighting for their crossover lives. Stampeders trying to figure out what we'll make of their West semifinal game against BC. Odds are that it'll be in BC, but a chance to finish things off. Perhaps if they can get a little bit of luck, you'll need your rivals up north against the Elks to do you some favors. And then the last week against Winnipeg as well for BC, but it'll be a close one. Thanks to Matt for the Stamps report. Appreciate that. As always, we'll check in with Matt later in the week to get a preview of Saturday's game against the Rough Riders. Thank you to you for listening. Appreciate it. That'll do it for Sportsnet today. Thank you to Jordan the Web Guy, Peter Labardius, as always, our outstanding producers, Taylor and Aaron. The Hockey PDO cast with Dmitry Filipovich is next. Flames Talk coming up at 4 o'clock with Pat Steinberg. Our Flames pregame gets underway at 6 with the Flames and the Golden Knights, broadcast right here on Sportsnet 960 at 7 o'clock. This is Sportsnet 960, The Fan.